sense to make that decision. My brother rode for years, and one day he called me. He had a Victory. He used to have a Harley, and he had a Victory Kingpin, and he lived down in Florida, where he had that. Eventually, they moved from Tennessee, and he called me one day and said, I made it to the end of the driveway, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I realized I was scared, and I didn't want to take the chance, so I'm selling it.
And I got hit. A car hit me and didn't hit me. Hit the bike. Guy ran a stop sign, hit me, and pretty much did it in for me riding on the street. I didn't feel comfortable getting on one on the street after that. And the last dirt bike I rode, Shane, was, I think it might have been a 250 Yamaha, and it was just more than I could handle. My reflexes aren't good enough to handle something that fast. It was just... that do 80 or 90 miles an hour, and I can't ride one that fast in the dirt.
Hey, Jerry, I was just joking about that being a you decision. I wasn't saying anything to be mean or nothing.
No offense taken, I hear it all the time, but I've been married for 50 years. You know, the best thing to do is just remember that even though you think you're the boss, you may be the boss of 50% of you, but you're not the boss of the other 50%. And that's just the way it goes. Life goes better if you understand if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
All the decisions until as long as my wife says I can, and then she makes the others. So we try to work together. Now, my brother and his wife did actually buy those Can-Ams, and I rode it. It's fun, I guess. It's definitely a different type of steering, and you got to get used to it. Took it around my neighborhood and a couple of back roads, and maybe someday, but you miss the leaning on the bike. That's fun, leaning and putting a little power into it on the corners. That's where it's fun.
Yeah, it's just not the same as riding a two-wheel bike, that's for sure. Go ahead, Chandler.
W4DJZ for ID is N4DJC, W4DJW, and N4ZOK. Yeah. Hey, look, if it makes you feel any better, I would probably not be old enough to ride a two-wheeler. I would probably just ride a three-wheeler myself.
Good one for you there. They're not too complicated. I mean, obviously you got to learn how they work just like a car, but main thing is just look out for other people because they don't always look out for you.
So, when I first started driving, you know, never trust anyone. Always assume people are going to try and do something to hurt you, and make sure you always be a good defensive driver.
Live by, because they'll sure cut you off. They'll cut in front of an 18-wheeler, they'll cut in front of anybody. And the only problem with a bike is you can stop in a hurry, but man, if they hit you from behind, that's all she wrote there. It really makes you can really hurt you pretty badly. But it will get off the bad side of it. But I did enjoy riding. I liked him. My wife liked riding with me too on the my road street bike, but like I said, those days are long gone. But, three-wheelers just don't, I mean, I like the looks of the couple I saw that, you know, I don't remember which brand they were, Shane, but I like the looks of them, but, you know, that takes away something to me. And I got a friend of mine, she and her husband, they moved to Arizona, they both have those Can-Ams. But man, good Lord of mercy, I was absolutely astonished at how expensive those things were.
They're very expensive, and you can get automatics and all kinds of saddlebags and lights and all the bells and whistles. But boy, you pay for it too. But motorcycles are getting like that now too.
If Dave was still back in there, go ahead, Chandler.
I don't really have much else that I can think about saying on motorcycles other than my dad got me into them. And that's my dad who recently passed away. But who goes riding with a group of friends. And, you know, maybe I'm young and, you know, anything that anyone else has, and I'm guilty of this often. But, you know, I like it and they have it. Just to be honest, I want it. And when I saw my dad riding that Harley Triglades, I was like, man, I want one then.
Nothing wrong with that. That's just the way things are. The way we all are. A lot of stuff I know what I can have, what I can't have, and a lot of stuff I wanted to do over the years I wasn't able to, but that's just the way things go. You just have to roll with it.
And the best thing is just try not to get discouraged and, you know, be grateful for the things we do have, because when you start looking at some of the countries where people live and the things that they don't have that we take for granted, it can make you a lot more grateful for what we do have. And for ZLK, Dave, you there?
Be off to one side where I'm not so deep in the leaves. Since the leaves came on, you can't hardly get reception back there at the back of Zaxby's. Anyway, what I miss, W4TJW.
A little bit. I don't think you missed much.
Subject. Waiting for them to bring my food out. They're directing everybody over to the edge, and I went to the highest edge so I could get back into the repeater. But I heard Jerry talking about somebody hitting you from the back. I remember leaving Michelin one time on my Yamaha 400, sitting at a red light down on 291 past Krispy Kreme going north at that, I think there was like a fish place over on the right, and I was at the bottom of the hill. And I was the only one there. It was dark. It was like, you know, I got off work at midnight. I was sitting down there, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw two headlights come over the top of the hill. And it was a big truck, because I could see his lights on top of his cab and everything. And I watched him as he got closer and closer, and I said, he's not going to stop. He's going to keep going. There's no way he can stop now. And I had to plow through that right as it was red, and he was sliding, and I was spinning. And we both went through the red light. He didn't see me sitting there at all, and he didn't recognize there was a red light. So, yeah, Jerry, you get hit in the back end by one of the, especially a truck, and it's Katie bar the door, lights out. W4DJW.
Well, lucky to be honest with you, I was riding my, I had a Honda 400 four-cylinder Super Sport, which was kind of like a cafe racer. You had to bend over to ride. It wasn't like rocket type stuff like Kawasaki's or anything like this. Real smooth little bike. Great riding bike. Little pistons, it looked like a whole lot bigger than your thumbs. It was such a small four-cylinder. But I'd come to a four-way stop, and it was wet. And this was down in South Georgia. And a guy pulled up to the stop sign, and I took off. I was kind of being careful, because that 400 would, you know, it would spin away from me. So I was careful when it was wet. And the guy got impatient with me, and he was opposite me. He went behind me, and he clipped me in the rear, just barely in the rear tire, spun me around about six times. And that scared me enough anyway. I don't think I rode the street bike again. Busted my foot all up, and that guy, he just kept on going. He didn't slow down.
At least you're okay. I have a similar story to Dave's, but it was in a personal vehicle. I guess the motorcycle's personal. It was in a car. This was back in the late 80s. I was on Wade Hampton, down there in Taylor's, right, where the Chick-fil-A is now. That shopping center, I don't think, was even there as much. But I was in a red light and saw a car coming behind me. I could tell they weren't even going to stop, and it was in the middle of the day. So I started going through the red light and had to stop other traffic, and they hit their brakes and ended up sliding all the way into the intersection. And I just kept on going. I ran that red light and just left them.
Let me check. Especially on a motorcycle, you got to be aware of what's happening around you all the time. I remember another night when I was first getting off of second shift, late at night, coming home, down 291 again, and there was a drunk riding next to me. He was beside me. And I knew he was weaving a little bit, and I was going kind of fast, and he was going kind of fast. I didn't want to go. I wasn't comfortable going any faster because I didn't want a ticket. He was on my right. I was in the middle lane. He was on the right. He all of a sudden decided he wanted to turn around and go back the other way. and he just jerked the wheel and turned. He's going to spin it around on 291. I lifted my leg up, on my right leg up, and his front bumper went under my right muffler, and it tagged his bumper, and it tagged my muffler, but he didn't get my wheel like Jerry's. He missed the wheel. I pulled over into Brendel's parking lot. That used to be Brendel's, where I got my scientific calculator when I was going to college. I remember that, and it's not a Brendel's there anymore. I pulled over there. I was shaking like a leaf. I found a cell phone and called the cops. They came out. They went down the road, and they found that guy, and they ticketed him. He was drunk. 74 DJW.
The man said it happened about 1976, I guess, Dave. And I was out in the middle of nowhere. My wife and my son, he was just probably 3 years old, and they were riding in front of me. And I got back then. I couldn't, my foot was all messed up, and I took my shoe off. I had a boot on. I took my shoe off, and one of my big toes turned all the way around the opposite way. That kind of made me a little sick to look at it. And she finally came back and went away. When I got to missing me, they came back. And I went up and parked my bike in a guy's barn up there. Let me sit it in there and drove to Atlanta. And I had to go to the emergency room in Atlanta. I sat in the emergency room in there for hours at Grady Memorial, of all places. And that doctor injected me with some painkiller. I told you, he jerked that thing around, turned it back the other way, and you could hear stuff crashing. I said, "Oh Lord." He said, "You'll probably walk okay, but it may be a couple of years." Oh Lord, I stayed on my feet all the time back in those days. And it gave me about 2 years of problems. It finally cleared up. Like my daddy used to tell me, he said, "If that stuff like that don't make a Christian out of you, nothing will."
This is
KO4ZWZ
for ID
with WS1DJW
for DJC, and then
the 4ZLK. What brought tears to my eyes just imagining that foot being twisted around like that, Jerry?
I don't think they'd have to give me any painkiller. I think I would just black out. I'd probably wake up after it was all over with. I couldn't. My mind would not allow me to process that.
You got the story about the time I got a broken leg? Just one quick question before I start. I've been concerned about how I've been presenting myself on the radio lately. Y'all had anything that I should know?
Where's that LK?
That's on this end, N4DJC. By the way, it wasn't my foot twisted around all the way from my big toe, which, my ankle wasn't too bad, but my foot was bad. But go ahead, let's hear it, Chandler.
Well, anyway, I was about 10 or 11, maybe 12 years old. It was the summer before I started sixth grade. And I went to Huntington Beach State Park with my mom and stepdad for a camping trip. We went there for about a week. And one day, we decided to start walking the Sandpiper Pond Trail. And on the Sandpiper Pond Trail, let me let your repeater drop. Sandpiper Pond Trail was a unique-looking tree that didn't go straight up. It went up and then curved. And the branches were coming, it's like a tree that stands straight up, but it curved and it went to the side. Well, my mom and stepdad wanted to get a picture of me sitting at the top of the tree. So, the idea was given to me by my stepdad to climb the tree like a monkey and get to the top and just sit down. And we took the picture, and that went well. The next part wasn't so fun. Since I had not had any experience on jumping off of high objects, I did not know how to land properly. sudden, the tree is only about 8 foot up in the air, and my stepdad's at least 6 foot one, so it's technically just above his head. And he said, do you know the fastest way to get down? And then I said, jump. Told me, okay, go slowly and jump off. Well, I jumped off, and I landed on my face and then fell flat on my back. Little did I know that when I stood up, my leg at my heel was bent, and I would figure out that I broke my leg. The rest of that story was my stepdad carrying me about 5 miles through a walking trail to a park ranger to get to the hospital.
Hey, Chandler, did it, what kind of break was it? Could you see the bone, or was it all inside the skin?
Inside the skin, but when they helped me stand up, my left leg at my ankle bent. So, if you can imagine, if you've ever seen the movie Harry Potter, where they give him the juice after he got injured in the, whatever that tournament that it is, that he flies around on the ring and plays. Imagine how they was able to bend his hand back all the way to only home. That's about what my leg looked like.
Chandler, let me make sure I got it. I broke my arm pretty bad one time when I was 35, had to have surgery, and I couldn't look at it. My wife said it looked pretty rough. But anyway, I'm home. I'm pulling in the driveway, and I appreciate the ride-along. Enjoyed it tonight, guys. So Dave, Chandler, Jerry, you all have a good evening, and I will talk to you all later, maybe on the net tonight. And 4ZLK, cheers.
I'm pulling down my street now, so this is going to be... Make sure I got it. Yeah, pulling down my street now, so this is going to be my last one as well. I enjoyed it, and that's a good story, Chandler. Appreciate you sharing that with us. Take it easy, Jerry, and maybe catch you on the net tonight, Shane. W4DJW, clear.
Make sure I got it. Good talk to you, Shane. Have a good evening. I'm sure you won't hear about all those nasty stories about broken stuff. Chandler, that was a good one. Dave, you have a good evening, too. Chandler, I'm going to drop that hood here. I got to run back downstairs. Hope you have a good evening. That was a good story, but a little horrifying. Take it easy. Save you three. M4DJC, clear after you.
Jerry, Dave, and Shane, 73s, and thank you for letting me tell that story. I hope it was okay to change the subject a little bit, but I figured since we's already talking about broken bones and such, that it seemed fitting and appropriate to go ahead and ask if I could tell that story. But I enjoyed the QSO. Thank you very much for the QSO, and I hope you all have a blessed night. Stay safe, and God bless you all. 73. WZ. I forgot the sign. Sorry. 4NUV, KO4WWZ. 4NUV, KO4WWZ. Contact
KO4WWZ,
clear.
W4FCM, KD4FDI.
KB4FCM, hey, did you get it figured out? Hi, W4FCM, did you get the volume up and the squelch open?
Yes.
Hey there, Landon or Layla, who's that? Hey, love you, good to hear you. Sus, it looks like you hear me, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy, 4FC, and what was it? How'd you get it working?
Okay.
Hear you perfectly. Can you hear me okay? Have you got the receiver working?
So, I don't know what was wrong the other day, but man, it's been hard to talk to you. I guess you're hearing me, I'm not hearing you. I guess it could have been the squelch.
Yeah, have you got the squelch open now and the volume up? Are you hearing me okay? There we go. I think you had the squelch too tight, the volume down. Was that Landon or Leila a second ago? Was it just a second ago? Call.
And he was joking to pretend that he sounded like Layla.
Sorry. Yeah, children's voices are hard to tell. They're high, but, hey, well, good to hear you. Hey, we ate last of the lentils today. It was a good night.
Patrick Filet had a spicy chicken sandwich with ranch and hot sauce on it.
That sounds good. We're going back to Silver Bay tomorrow again. I guess we're just frequent flyers here. I get salmon, salad, sweet potato, hush puppies. It's a good eat. So we'll go back there again. I'm going to spread some wheat and peach seed killer all over the front and backyard tomorrow. It's going to take me a couple hours. It's same kind that made the little plastic thing I used. The thing I distributed made the same Scott's wheat and peach. I'm going to spread that over the front and backyard tomorrow.
Very good then. So it's a good time to put it down. Just April to May, you know, especially if you're centipedes. So they'll look good. All right, Dad, I'm going to go play some ball with the boys. So I'll catch you later. W4FCM, KD4FDI.
Love you. It's so good to hear you. Glad you got it working. This is exciting. And you got the good radios. I knew you'd get it going. Okay, KD4FDI, thanks for getting me on. W4FCM signing. Enter W4FCM.
Sir, I'm sorry, but I forgot your name. Did I get your name?
I'm sorry, what was the question, Jennifer?
I forgot what your name was, my apologies.
No problem, name is Fred. F-R-E-D, over.
Yes. Thank you very much. How are you doing, Fred? Hadn't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, doing very well, thanks. Just been to eat supper and go out and take care of the chickens here in a second. Got to put them up when it gets dark, but they're still running around. So got another 30, 45 minutes before they go up. We've had Hawk 8-1, Raccoon 8-2, and Possum 3. So we don't lock them up, they become somebody's meal at night.
Pretty good. I hope they taste good, sir.
Yeah, I caught the possum and the raccoons and gave them a new home way up on Highway 11. So they're entitled to one free meal, but that was it. Well, Chandler, good to hear you. I hear you in the morning sometime. W4FCM.
Thank you, Fred. I'm assuming you're wanting to get off the radio, so I'll go ahead and tell you 73. God bless you. Thank you for the pizza.
Yeah, my son you heard talking, KD4FDI. He lives in the Easley. He's been ham a long time. My wife's got her advanced, and I've got my extra. He's got his general. So we're a three ham family. All right, Chandler, good to talk to you. I'm not doing anything important. You're going to just putt around here till the chickens go to sleep. W4FCM signing. Thanks for calling me, Chandler.
It's a pleasure to talk to any ham. Performer MUE, KO4WWC. Performer MUE, KO4WWC. Contact, KO4WWC, clear.